There are highly detailed maps of the Earth's land surface, but maps of the ocean floor are less exact, and it's especially tough to chart the waters just offshore. But a team of scientists in Florida is trying to change that. David Levin reports.
This is St. Pete Beach in Florida. It's just one part of the thousands of miles of coastline in the state. With that much ocean access to go around, the waters offshore have become a huge part of the local economy. Fishing, tourism, shipping, you name it. There's just one problem.
Understanding how deep the water is near the ports has always been a priority. But we haven't had high-resolution maps, you know, throughout the coast. We know more about Mars in terms of a map than we do the bottom of the ocean.
Steve Morawski is an oceanographer at the University of South Florida. He wants to change all that. Morawski leads the Center for Ocean Mapping and Innovative Technologies, or COMIT. It's a team of researchers working to make maps of the seafloor cheaper, faster, and more detailed, especially near the coast.
High-resolution maps will enable more precise navigation. It'll enable fisheries and fisheries protection. It will also enable us to do better at storm surge predictions in heavy weather.
But actually making those maps isn't easy.
Surveying an area of the ocean, you know, to update our nautical charts is time-consuming and it's very expensive. When I was sailing on a ship, I think it was, you know, $19,000 or $20,000 a day.
Neil Weston is chief scientist at the Office of Coast Survey, which is part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA for short. They make all the nautical charts of the U.S., which, as you can imagine, is a pretty big job.
When you think about all of the coasts and nooks and crannies, it's a lot of work to do. It's a lot of coastline to and water to survey. At our current resources with the ships we have, NOAA has about 500 years of work to do.
That's because, in addition to being expensive, the technology we use today has its limits. There's no single method that works well under all conditions. Aerial images, for example, can be great for mapping big swaths of land, but the seafloor, not so much.
If you've got any more than a, you know, maybe a dozen or so feet of water, it's very hard to actually image from an aircraft or a satellite.
Steve Morawski says mapping the seafloor with those tools can work well in shallow coastal areas with clear water, where it's easy to see the bottom. But the rest has to be mapped with sonar, using a whole range of vehicles, from big research vessels to small boats that are controlled remotely. That's pretty challenging, too.
And so the real challenge in a lot of our mapping going forward is the very shallow water.
That's why the COMIT team is taking a more holistic approach. It's called a nested survey. Instead of relying on a single method, they're collecting data with a bunch of different sensors and platforms that complement each other's strengths. In areas where satellites and aircraft can't get a good image, the COMIT team are using uncrewed vessels to fill in the gaps or get finer detail. Ultimately, those methods will show not just the depth of the ocean from place to place, but the exact minute contours of the bottom and what that bottom is made of.
That is the kinds of sand that exist, the boulders, rocks, etc.
Which can sometimes affect navigation.
That is not bumping into things.
Sand and mud on the bottom can shift around dramatically when a storm hits. Knowing exactly when and where new buildups occur is a big deal, especially in major ports, where the clearance between a ship and the seafloor can be really tight. Again, Neil Weston.
Because of the immense size of the ships, they sit deep in the water, so they will take a ship in with as little as half a meter between the bottom of the ship and the ground.
Thanks to climate change, big storms are getting more frequent and powerful each year. And after those storms come ashore, it'll be essential to have a fast and accurate way to tell if nearby waterways are safe to reopen. That's where COMIT comes in. The techniques they're refining will let response teams measure the bottom quickly and flexibly, which will reduce risk and shipping delays. But high-res maps will be handy for more than just safe navigation. Knowing what's on the seafloor will also help scientists understand what lives there. B. Combs Hintz is a PhD student at USF who works with Morawski. And she says that COMIT's maps can also show the exact location of sensitive habitats like seagrass meadows.
Seagrass meadows are right up there in importance. A lot of commercial fish species rely on seagrass meadows for their juvenile stages. If you go through them and just run your hands through, there's a good chance you'll pull up some baby fish that we'll see a few years later as giant adults out in the Gulf of Mexico that people are fishing for.
In some cases, those meadows are spread out in patches along the coast, covering areas from a few square yards to a few dozen square miles. Knowing where they are can help policymakers manage them, and by extension, manage the fisheries they support. In Florida, fishing brings in more than $3.2 billion a year, so even a small investment in mapping could have a big economic impact. And that impact isn't limited to stuff that happens offshore. Detailed seafloor maps could help manage land along the coast, too.
I use those to work with communities to help them understand where they're most vulnerable in the next storm and in future storms with sea level rise added on.
This is Cheryl Hapke.
I am a coastal geologist.
She's also coordinator of the Florida Coastal Mapping Program, an initiative between federal and state agencies that share an interest in mapping the region's seafloor. She says that when a storm reaches the coast, knowing the depth and shape of the ocean floor nearby can help us figure out how much water will flow inland at specific places and how long it'll stick around.
So that's very useful for managers and planners, emergency responders. So yeah, residents should care about mapping has always been my message.
With the level of detail that COMET's maps are showing, emergency managers could eventually predict a storm's impact not just on a neighborhood, but on individual streets, which will help them protect residents living there. Hapke has wanted to do this for years, and COMET's methods could finally make it a reality.
10 years ago, we didn't have the technology that we have today. We, you know, it would have been a really, really heavy and expensive lift to do it. It's not cheap today, but we have the right kind of equipment finally at our disposal to be able to undertake this.
Florida is the first state to benefit from COMET's research, but it won't be the last. There's still thousands of miles of coastline in the U.S. that need to be mapped in detail, and there's even more ocean floor beyond that. But if making coastal maps becomes cheap, fast, and accurate, Hapke says everybody wins. For Here and Now, I'm David Levin.
And David's story comes to us from Deep Soundings. That is a podcast series funded by NOAA.